Praise Yahweh. May the, I love you too. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I've got a bunch of stuff to cover today, so I want to get... Oh, I got one article I want to read you. This one. This will lift your spirits tremendously. I know you remember me bringing the article out on the real cause of global warming. And here it is. People were laughing, especially the talk show host, and hardly wait for them to see what's taking place now, because there's scientists that's also seeing this now, and they're voicing what they see and bringing it out in letters. And this symposium here was held in 2009, August the 1st. This to me is dessert now, this article. It's called Life in the Clouds. Life in the Clouds. Are clouds an ecological zone for microorganisms? This symposium was held in August this year, 2009, just a few months ago. Microorganisms floating in the air and clouds have been known for decades, but are they passive passengers or active residents? That's the question now that's come up. Are they residents that stay there permanently? Well, of course, as we brought out in this article, of the real cause of global warming. No, they are actually residents that live there. They breed, they play, and they organize things that take place here on Earth. Actually, organize your raindrops and so forth. But a lot more than that. They protect you. They let just the right amount of sun rays get to the earth at any given time of the day. They govern that for you. And of course, the scientists now are on the verge of finding out all of this. I don't know if Yahweh will show them everything. You know, air itself, you can't see it, not even under a magnifying glass, even if you compress it, you know. Like if you compressed trillions and trillions of these of the air particles I'm looking through them right now, but if you compress them into a pinhead, you still couldn't see them. They're that small. And they're transparent, but they're there. And Yahweh created them for the purpose of mankind, for mankind. He created this firmament. And you go above it and you don't find it, you know. You get above it, it's not there. It governs the earth only. Well, the idea that life can be found in the air and clouds is not a new one. For decades, biologists have been sticking vials into slip streams of airplanes, even kites, and cracking open petri dishes in hot air balloons and on mountaintops. While such efforts always yield evidence of microscopic life, mainly bacteria, it was assumed that such life was accidental. Accidental passengers in the air having been blown aloft from the surface of the land, or perhaps, they said, breaking bubbles of the churning sea water. That idea apparently needs revising now. Brother, I believe it was us. It was the article that we sent out, because I'm being told that there's quite a few scientists that stay up with our publications regularly now. Not only scientists, but news media, and not just the local news media either, throughout the world. Also, doctors are staying up with it and reading our articles regularly. So I can hardly wait to get this now, in that because I want to revise that or redo it, that article, and add what the scientists have found, and then tell them again what to look for. I don't know if Yahweh will show them everything or not, but it would be left up to him to do so. But if he did, it'd be a magnificent find. But then if he shows them, then the scheme is to always alter his plan. And of course, Satan has lost this knowledge. You know, she lost it back in the beginning. So she can't help them. But if they could find a way to destroy the firmament, they could destroy mankind, and they could prevent the plan of Yahweh from ever coming to pass. If heaven and earth passes, remember, then this plan won't pass. So the secret is to keep this plan going, keep heaven and earth from passing. As Robert R. Dunn quips in the article entitled "A Head of the Clouds," in the July-August 2009 issue of Natural History, their paper was ahead of its time. Ours was ahead of his. The question it raised was too big for the microbiologist, too biological for climatologist, and too airy for oceanography. With Hamilton's death in 2000 from malaria, contacted on a trip to the Congo, his idea about life in the clouds were promptly dismissed. Scientists have begun to discover that not only is life found in the air now and clouds, it thrives there, apparently using organic acids and alcohol, sulfur, and nitrogen as food. It uses a lot more than that, but that's the four things that they've found so far that these things live on, these microorganisms in the air. But they will find more. Known as aeroplankton or aerial plankton, aerial life forms comprise about 1,000 different species of bacteria, 40,000 species of fungi, hundreds of species of protists, including algae and other small waterborne organisms. Algae may seem a puzzling member of the aeroplankton until one realizes that a large cloud has about as much water as a shallow lake of the same geographic size. If you can imagine all of this water above your head and it falls down suddenly, and you get it in your mind, what is making that fall a drop at a time? Well, it's the life that Yahweh put in the firmament, and they've already proved this now. They know this. It's certain bacteria, as they call it, microorganisms that actually govern the size of the drop that falls on your head and how fast those drops come down. So you can see how this kingdom called the firmament here is actually feeding you, protecting you, watering your lawn and garden and so forth, you know, that Yahweh created. Yeah, praise Yahweh. Also found are mosses and liverworts that spend at least part of their life cycle in the atmosphere in the form of spores. Pollen and tiny seeds from flowers, plants are often temporary passengers on the air, as are arthropods like tiny insects and small spiders. All of that in your atmosphere. Small spiders. Insects and small spiders. Recently, three new species of bacteria were found in the stratosphere more than 12 miles above the Earth. None of these species have ever been collected anywhere else, raising the interesting and distinct possibility that some life forms live permanently in the air and in the clouds. Praise Yahweh. And praise Yahweh for showing his house first. While the field of aerobiology does exist, it has traditionally been concerned primarily with the medical aspect of transmission of airborne diseases caused by bacteria and viruses. Recently, a branch of aerobiology known as aerocoology has begun to emerge. Aerocoologists study how airborne organisms, microbes, bats, birds, and arthropods function and survive in the atmosphere and clouds. Aerocology is a multidisciplinary science that encompasses and integrates aspects of atmosphere science. Each science, geographic, ecology, computer science, computation biology, and engineering. So, you know, see, these are very high learning. They could have gotten it all from the Holy Scriptures. They could have gotten more than what they've got right now from the Scriptures, but they are now trying to figure out the way it is by mankind's knowledge instead of the knowledge that Yahweh has given us. The only reason that Yahweh is holding us to a limited amount of knowledge, and that's what he's doing with mankind. He created mankind to hold him at a limited amount because Yahweh does control what he creates, and he created mankind for the purpose of giving him great authority, which is knowledge, great knowledge. If you're thinking about going to college, that's the stupidest thing you could do. The knowledge that you will get right here if you qualify, and you can merely by enduring. But you must endure, and you must want righteousness, not the unrighteousness that you would find in a school of higher learning. It's a mixture of righteousness and evil that's known as the tree of destruction in your Holy Scriptures, and that's all it's ever brought forth was destruction. And you can see what they have done, what science has done with the knowledge that Yahweh allowed them to have. You know, the splitting of the atom, you know, that was a great source of energy. It's a tremendous amount of energy that science has discovered, and what have we used it for? We're fighting over it now and afraid that some people's going to get it because it's too much energy. And the nations, the kings of the East now, are fighting like they did over land a few thousand years ago. And of course, now with this source of power, it's a great amount of power that you, the power that you can gain right here at the house of Yahweh very soon will make this look like a grain of sand in a desert. compared to what Yahweh has to offer you if you will just set your mind to righteousness and keep it there. And you won't find righteousness in the schools of higher learning. People are saying, well, I would like to go get a education where I can get a job that'll make a lot of money. You know, they got people out there with all kinds of education. Now they can't find a job. This is a little bit stupid, isn't it? You know, Babylon is falling. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. We got jobs for you, and we got jobs that pays more than you would ever find from the schools of higher learning. Praise Yahweh. We need 2 billion people, and we're going to get them right away. Yahweh willing. And you can be one of them, but you can be one of the leaders, you know. You're here now. Stay here. Get your education here in Yahweh's Scripture. You haven't even begun to learn. If you had begun to learn this right here, you wouldn't have your mind on anything else except this right here. I can tell the people that's not interested. Praise Yahweh. I can tell the people that's not interested that, you know, you see them half-heartedly listening. You know, Yahweh says, come to his house and then obey his word. How can you obey it if you don't hear what he's saying to you right now? Well, if you obey and you endure until the end, you can stack up the amount of knowledge and righteousness that you need to be like Yahshua himself. And if you're like Yahshua, then you're a seed of Abraham, and you got an heir to all of this knowledge where you could tell the scientists before they even think about it. Even if you are a Hokie. Praise Yahweh. Appropriate integration of diverse tools and concepts for probing into the lives and of organisms aloft can help inform important ecological and evolutionary concepts and management decisions assorted with the spread of invasive species, emergence of infectious diseases, altered biodiversity, and sustainability of territorial, aquatic, and atmospheric environment. Well, Yahweh offers you this free. Just by learning righteousness now. And the more righteous you are, the better qualified you will be to inherit these beautiful things. Here's what the world is inheriting. Chlamydia thrives despite efforts to treat teenagers. They have nothing that will stop this. Nothing. They're probing the atmosphere to find knowledge. This is their knowledge. Here's another one. I may as well read it to you. Sticking up there. Yahweh must have done this. 1/3 of the world's population has tuberculosis bacteria. 1/3. And that's a small estimate. I think probably 90% have it now. I know at least 100% have chlamydia. It's everywhere. I was reading, someone handed me a thing about the Coke dispensing machines. I'll never punch another one. It has fecal matter. Every time somebody touches it that hasn't used a restroom, that's what you're getting. You go up there and punch that button to get a Coke, and you're getting much more. And they say it's even spread down into the spout where the Cokes and things come out. I don't think I want to stop at another machine. Man, oh man. Wash your hands before you touch ours, okay? Please. They do. We do. Our people are clean, and that's the one thing that Yahweh teaches, and that's what protects us. Now, in last week's sermon, we got up to, we were talking about, if you remember, the seed of Satan, which she has trees all over the world. Yahweh only has one work, and that's the one that's prophesied, and that's what he insists on you learning. Yahweh will not have a work that is not prophesied. So, you know, unless you find your place in prophecy to start another work besides the work right here, you'll be Satan's tool instead of Yahweh's tool, because if it's not according to the laws and the prophecies, and that is a law, Yahweh follows that law. He won't have a work at all unless he prophesies in advance of that work. Now, he's already said, and there's only two trees in the world that he's dealing with. The tree of Christianity, it didn't start, you know, with Constantine. Constantine was just taking up something that had started back with Cain. All the world has gone the way of Cain, remember? Well, Cain was rebellious. Well, Let's get into it here. Let's go back to Genesis, because Yahweh says, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed. That's 3:15, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman. That is between Satan. He's speaking here to Satan, says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. This woman is the house of Yahweh. And between your seed, which Satan is taking, you know, she's putting out a huge amount of seed and always has. But I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. So, and then he says later on, he said, if you're like Yahshua, then you're going to suffer this enmity, this carnal mind that thinks you're an enemy. That's what enmity means. It means that they got it in their mind that you are some kind of enemy to them because you're telling them the truth. Now get this. You tell them the truth and they think you're an enemy. If you've ever talked to a fallaway, the best thing you could do with people who leave the house is if they contact you, tell them you need to repent and get back here because, you know, this is the only source of life. Yahweh is your life and he's only at the house, his prophesied house. He's not anywhere else. If he did, he'd break his own word. He says, come keep your appointments with me at the place I choose to place my name. And of course, his name is prophesied to be in a certain place. And if it's not, if that's not the place you seek, he said, seek the place I choose. Well, how do you seek it? Hiawatha, of course. Wow, there it must be over there on that hill. No, it's over here. It's in the scriptures. If it's not in the prophecy, that's where you got to seek it. If it's not there, then it's not of Yahweh. There's no light, no laws in them. Now, that should be plain enough. Now, the only reason you're hated is because of this enmity, the carnal mind. It thinks you're an enemy. It actually believes that you're the enemy. Right now, we're hated by the religions because we're telling them you're crucifying the Savior every day with your sins. That's what the apostle said. Well, here in chapter 2 now, in verse 9, he shows you the two trees. And that's all that's in the world. That's all that he's dealing with. Christianity is a tree of mixture of righteousness and evil. The evil is the breaking the laws. That's the mixture that she carries. There's a little bit of righteousness, not much, but there's a lot of evil. But it's this evil mixture. And if you notice, there's only two trees here, not 40 or 50, but two. And Yahweh says, I'm going to bring this plan of mine forth with these two trees in one family, out of one family. And they're going to be a multitude of nations, but they're all coming from this one family. Now, it's open for everyone. The house of Yahweh is open for everyone. All you've got to do is come with the thought in mind that you will humble yourself and keep Yahweh's laws. If you don't, you're a heathen, you're a Gentile. This, not another race. Yahweh didn't create any more races. He created languages, but he didn't create races. Keep that in your mind. This is all foolishness of the world that's been put into your mind. If you'll believe the scriptures, you can't go wrong, and you'll start seeing how foolish this is, what the world is putting forth to you from the schools of higher learning. They want you to think, well, here's this super race over here. Well, it came from Adam and Eve. It's no more super than Adam and Eve were. They're all human beings. Maybe one of them has learned something that the other one didn't learn, like how to speak Chinese, how to speak German. No, I don't speak German. I could speak German if I'd wanted to, or if it had been taught to me. But when somebody goes and they start studying the atmosphere, for instance, and I tell them, you're going to find this, this, and this in it, and they look at it, what makes you think so? I know I'm in the source of all knowledge right here. This is it, brethren. And Yahweh can reveal as much of this to a person as he wants to, as his plan permit. Well, remember what he says there now, what he shows you there in 2 and verse 9. And let's go over to Revelations now. Revelations 2, remember the two trees. And here is Revelations. Now, this is the finishing book to show you the finish. You know, when the seventh Moloch speaks, then this is the finishing of Yahweh's plan. We're in it, brethren. We're in that. 2 and verse, Revelations 2, and look at verse 7. Revelations 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear, go to the house of Yahweh, keep your appointment with Yahweh, and hear what Yahweh is telling you through his priest. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. To him that overcomes. To him that overcomes. Now he set two trees here. One of righteousness, the other of a mixture of anything. It's just a concoction, a witch's brew of anything you want to choose. Anything at all. All is fair in love and war. And all is diseased in love and war. Disease and death. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. That tree of life is Yahweh himself, brethren. He is your life. And he feeds you through his word. That's where you get it. And if you starve yourself of this word, you'll never understand. You'll go out of here with an empty head. And you're not building your mind to be as Yahshua. If you are as Yahshua, then you'll inherit it. You'll be a seed of Abraham and an heir of all of this authority, all of these wonderful, abundant living that Yahweh has in plan for you, which the tree of life, to him that overcomes. Here's Revelations now we're in, which is in the midst of the garden of Yahweh. This is what it's speaking of. It started here in the beginning, and he gives you his full plan. Then he gives you the plan of the end of it over here. In Revelations 22, he elaborates on that. Revelations 22, verse 14, blessed are those that keep his laws, that they may have right to this tree of life that was given in Genesis 2:9. Got that? 2:9. Given right in the beginning. The same message preached in the beginning is being preached by the seventh Moloch of Yahweh in these last days. Blessed are those that keep his laws, that keep his laws. He's not preaching another doctrine by any means, and this is the last revelation. They may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into this city. Look at verse 19. And if any man will take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book, the wonderful promises that are written in this book of Yahweh. He's going to lose it all if you take away from this. Take away from it. You know, and that's what the Catholic Church has done, and they admit it over and over and over. And they say, we do this out of respect. We do this out of respect to our brothers. They mean to their gods. You know, they make gods out of men. They have leaders. This is what you find in Muhammad. He was a colonel, I believe, in the army, and he was a great soldier, and people came to respect him because he was Robin Hood who robbed from one and gave to another. And of course, the ones he gave it to loved him. The ones he stole it from hated him. And this is what you see in the world, you know, a mixture of righteousness and evil. If you would just put it together there. Righteousness starts with the seventh day Sabbath. The appointment with Yahweh. You can't get it anywhere else. His eyes and his heart is here with us, teaching you right now, teaching you. It starts with the keeping of the Sabbath. You stop keeping the Sabbath, you cut yourself off from Yahweh. Totally. And then you start dying. You can live longer by starving yourself from physical food than you could by starving yourself with spiritual food. Your mind just dilapidates when you start starving yourself. Praise Yahweh. The appointments with Yahweh at the place Yahweh chooses to place his name, Deuteronomy 17:9, go to the priest. Go to the priest, where at? Deuteronomy 12:5, at the house of Yahweh, the place he chooses to place his name. You don't find in prophecy any other place that Yahweh chooses to place his name. You want to save somebody who's fallen away? Tell them, repent and go back to where they started. Go back to the house of Yahweh. Humble themselves like a little child and come back like the prodigal son. For life that causes from Yahweh. It's given by Yahweh. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 30. Now, remember all those scriptures, because one backs up the other here. And Revelations is merely the finishing. Deuteronomy 30. Revelation is merely the finishing of this last time period where Yahweh says, in the last days I will establish my house. And then he says, this is a work of you, that you've got to do in these last days, and then the end will come. Well, here in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20, he says, Yahweh is your life. Now cut yourself off from your life and you're going to have death. You're going to die. Look at verse 15. See, I have set before you life by righteousness. That's the only way you're going to get it, by practicing righteousness. But I've also set before you a tree, a mixture of death and destruction here that is taking place right now. Now, it starts with the Sabbath, and it's going to end with those who keep the Sabbath. It's going to continue throughout eternity. I should have put it that way. From one Sabbath to another and from one new moon, that's Isaiah 66, will all flesh, all that's left alive, they will gather before me. Where? At the place he chooses to place his name. Yes, the house of Yahweh. Now let's go back to Genesis 4 here. And we see this tree of which the apostle says all the world has gone. We see the house of Yahweh, and we see Christianity. Christianity is, it was started by the tribe that came from Abraham. They called themselves, they started calling themselves lords. And even today, not too many years ago, I remember a man that came out saying, you know, that we could be of the God family. We could be born into the God family. Well, the man found out that his name was Yahweh, and he started using that, and his tithe, they said, cut in half the first month. So, his tithe and offerings, so he dropped the name Yahweh and went back to wanting to be a god again. A god is man. Men who they have deified. Who they have deified, or they are demons who they have deified, or Satan deified as gods. One of those two things. People think, well, this man is righteous, like the woman that went up and kissed the tomb of the Pope, you know. Well, the Pope, I guess, was a powerful man. Somebody said he cured a helm. What they said. But he didn't cure the woman, but he cured the helm. But there's only two of these trees. One of them is Christianity. The other one is the house of Yahweh. And from Christianity, which was started by Cain, you can see it here in chapter 4. You can see what Cain did and what Christianity practices today. And then down from the rabbis, they first is taken into Egypt, if you remember. Egypt worshipped all the gods, including the two gods that they chose to get the name Jesus Christ. That's where it come from. That's where Christmas came from. They were worshiping that in Egypt, worshiping those gods in Egypt. All of those gods were worshiped there, and it was done for money, mostly for money. It brought in, as the Catholic Church said, of the carnivals, the state fairs. They said, these generate energy in the people. Now let me bring you down to reality. You go there seeking frills. Now, you could ride a Ferris wheel. That's probably some of the older machines. But you could ride that. How many times could you ride it before you started getting so bored with yourself? You know, so you want to seek something else. So you go to whatever else it is, upside down cars or whatever. Well, how many times do you have to ride that before you see its foolishness? It's worthless. That's what it is. It's a money-making thing. But the Catholic Church said, this brings a lot of energy. People are seeking to get out of reality. And this takes them out of reality. So when you fill your mind with this thing, and then, well, all things must end, that belongs to Satan. And of course, when they shut down the machines at night, then you go home. You go back to reality. But you go back to comfort and things that you wouldn't trade if you just understand what I'm talking about, peace. You go back to peaceful living, not this stupidity out here that soon you get tired of. You never get tired of the peace. You never get tired of peace, joy, eating, love, speaking to one another, communicating with one another. These are things that Yahweh created. All this other stuff, you know, they want to get these Christmas trees out of their house as soon as possible. You know, they can become boring to them. So get them out. Go burn them or something. They're causing fires anyway. They cause destruction. But they're worthless. And you can only stand that kind of living for a little while, and then you come back to reality. Think of how much you appreciate that mess being over. Back, if you, any of you have celebrated it, you know what I'm talking about. And everyone, I've heard it said 1,000 times, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's over. Well, why were they doing it? But they forget it, see? So they do the same thing again next year. How many colored Easter eggs can a boy stuff in a bag, and how long would it be before he'd get tired of picking up Easter eggs, colored eggs, and putting them in a bag? You see how stupid this is? It doesn't bring anything lasting. I'm trying to bring you to reality. Praise Yahweh. And this is what the garden of Yahweh was. It was reality, a place of communication, of love, of treating everyone like yourself, a place of service where you learn to serve each other and communicate and study into things that would really bring joy and gladness to everyone, abundant living to everyone. That's what the garden of Yahweh was. Well, Yahweh had these, Yahweh put in there two religions. And here we see it in chapter 4 of Genesis. We see the second religion here under the name of Cain. Under the name of Cain. In verse 7, look at verse 7. It says, if you do righteousness. Well, he just noticed what a sourpuss Cain was. And he says, why are you so irritated? What's wrong with you? Why are you so bitter? Why are you so hateful to everyone around you? Why? Well, of course, Cain was taking this way of life of excitement. He wanted to go ride a Ferris wheel. Well, the fair shut down. Well, he went and rode it before the fair shut down. He got so tired of it, he couldn't stand it. So he went back. He was hunting something else. He didn't want to learn Yahweh's way. And Yahweh says, if you'd learn my way, you would be joyous. You can find joy in these things, but you won't find true joy out there in the schools of higher learning and money grabbing. He who seeks after silver will never be satisfied with silver. It's like riding the Ferris wheel. How many times you have to go over that thing before you decide, I want off of this goofy thing? How many? How many times did you ride it? Hopefully not any this year. But Yahweh says, if you do righteousness, if you do righteousness, will you not be accepted, or you will find acceptance if you do righteousness? And if you do not do righteousness, sin. So sin is the next thing. Look over to verse 8 there. He says, now Cain talked with Abel. Well, Cain took Abel as an enemy because Abel was the one that was telling Cain at the house of Yahweh, what you're doing here is not going to bring joy. Abel was getting Cain's customers because he was telling them the truth, that life is at the house of Yahweh, that what Cain is seeking is not bringing life. So there was an argument took place. If you look at that, you notice a little R there. And of course, from the Hebrew words here that we have in the reference, you see that this word here means lying words. Cain was trying to preach to Abel to get him to accept these lying words. Then the R1 over in the reference there, Cain started an argument with Abel. Isn't that the way it goes now when someone is wanting to leave the house of Yahweh and they start an argument with the priest? And then before you know it, they cut their appointments off with Yahweh himself. And then they start dying totally. But Cain started an argument with Abel. This is what the Hebrew authorities say this means. Striving and contending with Abel, looking for and found an excuse to kill him. And of course, this is the attitude of the kings of the East. Kill your enemy. That's the attitude of still that prevails in Israel. What we have in Israel right now is a drawing back of several of the nations from Manasseh and that has been scattered throughout the world. And of course, a multitude of nations. So Yahweh, he has brought certain ones back, like he brought some out of Egypt. He didn't bring everybody out of Egypt. He didn't bring everybody back out of Babylon. In fact, they didn't even want to come back out of Babylon. When they were took there and put in the schools of higher learning, they thought this is the way. So they spent their life striving for something that they couldn't even take with them. Spent their whole life at this. And as the old saying goes, you can't take it with you. You can what Yahweh offers you, you can. But your life, if you spent your whole life right now striving to make money, you'd really have an empty hand when you at the end of it all. Plus, you're not going to have any reward anyway. There's no reward. There is no reward other than Yahweh. There is no reward with Satan at all. She doesn't even promise you any reward. There's nothing she does promise except destruction and taking advantage of someone and putting yourself above someone. What does it help to put yourself above someone? What are you creating there by putting yourself over somebody else? And when you do that, if you become a servant to someone, you're creating love. This is the best way I know of to create love and friendship. True friendship. Well, here now verse 8 here, he said he talked with Abel, and then of course he killed Abel because he thought Abel was an enemy. That's the enmity that was put between them. Well, Cain, of course, he sinned. And of course, sin, as 1 John 3:4, let's turn over there because I want to read another verse there besides that 3:4. But in 1 Yochanan, as we find here and get to it, 1 Yochanan 3, In verse 4, we see what sin is. Well, we see here that sin lieth at the door. Every translation has this. King James Version, all of them have in Genesis 4 and verse 8, they have, he sins. Sins. Well, sin, if you'll take Yahweh's word for it, is breaking Yahweh's laws. 1 John 3:4, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And then we see in verse 7, we see the deception. Because we're telling them the truth, we've been threatened. They've tried to argue with us. They don't get anywhere arguing with them, because you lay down scripture to them like Perry Wooldridge did, the Baptist preacher at Eula. Perry Wooldridge just got his books out and said, "Well, here it is right here." And I didn't write this book, you know, your authority, Christianity wrote this book, but look here what it says. And he pointed out the facts. Well, you can't argue with facts. How can you argue with the fact? Don't confuse me. My mind is already made up, I guess. So. But he had nothing to say. And here is Perry Wooldridge just taking his own books, Christian books, and pointing out, well, here's his name right here. And here he says, keep the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. You're keeping the first day, aren't you? Well, yes. Well, why are you keeping the first day? So here comes the persecution then, see? They can't stand up to the truth, and that's exactly what occurred with Cain and Abel. Well, here he shows you, little children, don't let any man deceive you now. Don't let anyone deceive you. So if they can keep you from practicing righteousness, then you belong to Satan. So you can see that this tree of knowledge and evil here that it's talking about, and Satan being the teacher of mankind here in verse 3, and gets them to sin. This is chapter 3, I mean, in Genesis, and verse 7. She gets the both of them to sin here. Then one of them did it by deception. The other one did it by coaxing. And, of course, this is what the world tries to coax you to do. And they actually came, the Baptist preacher came to one of our people and said, come to services. Well, they... What, on this coming Sabbath? No, we don't keep the Sabbath. Why are you living in sin? Oh, no, that's not sin. Well, show me in the Bible. I'll show you. Well, this is the way the arguments go. And, of course, they can't stand up to the truth. So then they turn to the hatred and the enmity that the carnal mind, because they hang on to the carnal mind. Well, look at verse 8. He who commits sin is of the devil. So you can see the devil right here that caused Adam and Eve to sin. Then if she can get you to sin, she's got you too. See how clear that is? There's no way you can stand up to this. And hold your place right there and look over to Yada, or it's the King James, if you still have such a thing. It's just before you get to Revelation, Jude, I think is what they called it. But it's Yada, and look at verse 11 now. And you can see here, now remember I said there was two religions, one of Satan, which has the mixture of anything you want to choose, and then the other of righteousness, which is keeping Yahweh's laws. There's nothing else taught in the Holy Scriptures. If you want salvation, if you desire salvation, then you're going to keep these laws. Now, if you don't, if you desire stubbornness, stupidity, or being downcast, then, of course, the house of Yahweh is not for you. Satan's way is the way the world has gone. Verse 11, woe to them, for they have They have gone in the way of Cain. Well, as John Yochanan said, the whole world has gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily. Run greedily after what? Money, in search for silver. Search for silver, or a search for a good job, as they call it. Well, now this is the basic teaching of Yahweh. And the Pharisees now, they kept the Sabbath day. The Pharisees kept the Sabbath day after Yahshua was crucified. They were still keeping the Sabbath day. They weren't keeping it according to Yahweh's instruction. They were adding to it, but they were still keeping it. They were still keeping it in Rome. After they moved the temple artifacts to Rome, they were still keeping the seventh day Sabbath up until Constantine, 325 years after the Savior's death. They were still keeping it up until that time. But they were having trouble with a certain group of people. And that certain group of people were coming from Galilee. And their disciples were coming out from Galilee. Now, they might not have been totally righteous, but they had it in their mind that the Sabbath should be kept. Fornication should not be committed. Adultery shouldn't be committed. The same way that Yochanan, when he came from Galilee to Jerusalem, the same thing he found there, you find in Christianity today. And we say, this is what's causing all your trouble, is the sins. And we point out to them, this is what's causing your diseases. The curses that Yahweh said would come through sin. And every curse today that we see in mankind, including this chlamydia that I just read about, tuberculosis, no, it didn't come from cigarette smoking. They blame cigarette smoking, but that was a lie. They put it off on everything, like ulcers. Ulcers is caused by too much black pepper. I think it was a mixture. I think that's what caused it. I know that's what caused it. Well, now, see, they know that parasites causes ulcers. Ulcer, if you don't know what an ulcer is, an ulcer is a hole in your stomach, in your gut. Now, you could go to the doctor, you could have a pain here, you could drink a cold glass of water and get rid of it, or you can run to the doctor and they'll say, well, you got a hole in your gut. Yeah, everybody does. Everybody gets holes in their guts and they see it heal back. They're punched there by parasites, by STDs. And they now know that. But will they turn you loose and tell you, go get you a glass of water and get this stuff out of you, rinse it out, get rid of it? No, they cut you open. And they supposedly sew up the hole. How long do you think it takes the parasite to make a hole in your stomach? By the time they got that hole sewed up, there was probably 10 others, and they sewed them up rather quickly to get rid of the person. But to get the money. I'm telling you the truth. And there is a doctor that's on television right now that somebody's been telling me about, and he's bringing out these things on the air, and he's saying, these doctors don't want you to do this, and they're really against me, and they're persecuting me right now. But he is telling some truth about some things on the air for everyone, and this is some of it. But there's a stuff called probiotic. Probiotics, all it is a little army of enzymes like you don't see in the air you breathe. But it's probiotics like you would get from a glass of clabber milk. And that's the reason people live a long time when they get on clabber milk, when they drink it of an evening. That's the time that it does the most benefit, because it's filled with a little army that goes in there and gets rid of some of these bugs. Now, it won't get rid of STDs, but there are ways of getting rid of STDs, at least some of them. maybe not all of them. I believe that Yahweh will cleanse his house totally before we see Yahshua. Praise Yahweh. But these probiotics, if you'll read about them, one of the things they stop is holes in your stomach. Gut leak, they call it. Now, you can go to the doctor and he'll put a plug in it, you know, like a tire on your car. He can plug it, but that won't stop the cause of that gut leak. What you need to do is go to work on the cause. That Band-Aid won't, it'll stop up one hole. But how many holes did they not find? They only appear under pressure anyway. If you knew how many times you had a ruptured gut and it actually leaked, you'd probably be amazed if you could see what goes on in the stomach when you got a stomach full of trichna that's caused from eating pork. Well, we don't eat pork. Well, where did you get this then? Well, when's the last time you visited your kin folks? Well, they don't eat pork when I'm there. You know, this is sick, I know. But this is not using your head, brethren. When you go and invite these things into your body, and in spite of all we have brought, it has been reported to me that people have actually still going to McDonald's to get a burger. You know what else they smear all over that burger? Things that causes holes in your guts. Just because you stop bringing pork into your house, you can still get it, brethren. If you go, it's like pushing the button on these machines at these stores, these grocery stores. You know, did they come and clean that button after you push it? Or after anybody pushes it? No, and all day long. I think they probably maybe clean it once a day. You know, or maybe one shift, one janitor comes around and sprays it and cleans it. Maybe don't, I don't know. Maybe it just stays there. Maybe the feces just keeps adding up. I don't know. They say it's pretty bad. The article I got say it's pretty bad. What do you think takes place among unconverted kin who's got their house with pork in it, who they eat? Will you shake hands with them, hug and kiss them, of course, to show you love them? But what are you getting in your bodies? Think what Yahweh is trying to call you out of and telling you get out of this. Well, the Pharisees, we find out the Pharisees, the prophet said they were eating pork back Isaiah 65 and 66. They were eating pork at that time. That's Christianity. That's the tree, the other tree that Yahweh put in the garden. Now, in Yahshua's day, they called them separatists. You know why they separated themselves? Oh, they are holier than thou. No, it was to hide their sins, their wickedness. And that's the reason they're separated today. And when they're found out about and it hits the news, they don't like it much. And they spend money trying to cover it up, of course. But it's wickedness. Yes, they're still separated in their God-filled houses. And they're still eating their pork in Rome. Now, where they're having trouble right now is in Genesis 49. I won't have time to cover this today, but we covered it before. Genesis 49, if you remember, a certain tribe said they go out in the daytime and they get their loot and then they divide it. Well, what's taking place in Jerusalem, and we'll get to this next week, Yahweh willing, what's taking place in Israel right now is that what Yahweh prophesied in Genesis. He also prophesied it in Jeremiah and told what this is going to come to. And all of these tribes now that you see, all of the family of Abraham who have become a multitude of nations, they have a ruling seat in Jerusalem, in Israel, in the gates of Jerusalem, all the gates of Jerusalem. Well, what gates do we have now? We have airplanes, railroads, automobiles, highways. we have the decision making, and all the different tribes from all scattered throughout. That's a family of Abraham. They have a ruling voice in Israel right now. They have one man that's a prime minister there, Netanyahu, and he's trying to point out to them, everything you're suggesting here is going to bring trouble. Now, he's taking a lot of heat right now, but they're saying, we want it this way. Well, this one over here is saying, we want it this way. This is the kings of the east that you saw demonstrated back in the kings, where Yahweh gives you a history to go by. They're all fighting against one another because every one of them is after his own gain, as Yahweh said. So they're fighting against one another to get it. And in this time period, Yahweh says in this time period that we're in, we'll cover it next week. We're out of time, but we'll cover it next week. This time period, Yahweh says, you will have every one of these tribes, every one of these they call families, but if you look it up, it means tribes. He says, I'm going to set them at your gates. Every one of them, here's where it's going to end. Here's where it's all going to be a showdown right here. They have a word there that you would never guess, and I won't bring it to you till next week, but it means the core fourth part of the earth that's given back there by the prophets. And it shows it exactly in Revelations. It's a fourth part of the earth. But you would never guess it back here in the prophets in the Hebrew that's what he is speaking of. And also speaking about a place of protection, which is right here. It's not in the school of higher learnings. It's right here at the house of Yahweh. It's the only place of protection that Yahweh said would be in this time period. Praise Yahweh. If you leave it, you lose it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.